Today's shiur is Masechet Chul and Daf Mem Vav. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Hey Amid Beis, at the bottom of the Amid, the last words. Says the Marbai, Rav Huna Bereder Yeshua. Huna Bereder Yeshua asked the following questions. Yesterday we learned, in the previous shiur we learned, that if the Shmuel had discussed, when we speak about the Chud HaShedra, when we speak about the spinal cord, where, and then we discussed that towards the back of the animal, the spinal cord begins to split. And the question was, and Shmuel said, Ad Bein HaProshes, that the animals are treifa until the spot where the spinal cord begins to split. And the question is, what was meant, asked the Gemara, with that statement? Ad, how do we understand that statement when we speak about the spinal cord being split, that at that point it's no longer a trefa if it's severed? And the Gemara explains it, and Gemara explains the question. Do we say ad v'ad b'klal, that the place where the spinal cord begins to split off is also considered an area that if it's split, it's going to be a trefa, a dilma, or when we say the spinal cord up to that spot, ad v'loy ad b'klal, it doesn't include that spot. And this is, as I sort of mafarshim point out, Tosfos particularly says that this is not a new question. This is a question that comes up often in Shas, that whenever the Gemara identifies a shear, do we say ad v'ad b'klal, do we include that spat, or maybe it's not included? Moreover, what makes this question more interesting is because the Gemara itself in our previous year identified that there's certain areas that any idea that we're not exactly sure how to treat that spat. So Tosfos then asks the question that why don't we go l'chumrah? Because the halacha is that whenever we speak about shiurim, we have to go l'chumrah. So why over here, if we want to know if ad b'chlal or ad v'loy b'chlal, we should go l'chumrah? To which Tosfos says that this rule that we always go l'chumrah when we have this kind of a question is only in a situation where the shear is mentioned explicitly in a Mishnah and a Braisa. When the shear is mentioned explicitly in a Mishnah and a Braisa, so there we go l'chumrah. But here we're not speaking about a shear that's mentioned explicitly in a Mishnah and a Braisa. So since we're not speaking about a shear that's mentioned explicitly in a Mishnah and a Braisa, therefore the halacha might be different. So says the Gemara. Another question. Baira Papa, Imtim Tzolayma, if we'll say that when Shmuel said that until it's only a treif until the parasha, and we'll also pask an ad v'loyad b'chlal, and that doesn't include where it splits off. Where it splits off is already not treif. So now ask the Gemara Pia parasha. If what about the spot from where it actually begins to branch off? Mahu, what will be that? What will be the halacha on that spot? Do we say that it's considered still very much part of the spinal cord area, and therefore any split, any severing there, will be considered a trefa or not? Now the Gemara asks another question on the other side. By Reb Yirmiyah, Imtim Tzolaymer, if we'll say that the place where it splits off, ad v'ad b'klal, that even that area is considered part of it. What about the parasha atzmai? If the nerves or the spinal cord that splits off in this area, what will be the halacha if we take a chumra position? How far mahu? What will be the halacha on that? What will be the halacha on that area? Because the question is, how far are we going to extend the area which is going to be trefa? And as The Rishonim, Rashba and Ramban, say the way to understand the Gemara's current question is that there are three possibilities. One possibility is that it's going to be a treifa. One possibility is that it's certainly not a treifa. And the third possibility actually is that it's in the category of any idea. We don't know how to treat that area. Says the Gemara, Toshma. Let's see the following brisa. It says a parsha, the part that splits off. Says the Gemara, tin kabasar. It's treated that like meat, and severing whole, everything is not an issue. My love, doesn't the brisa mean the parsha rishona vishniya, the part that's splitting off in the first and second branch, that is not considered a treifa? So we see an answer to that question. Loi, says the Gemara, the question that we asked is not answered with this brisa. And the reason the question that we asked is not answered with this brisa, because as we said, there are different spots where it keeps on branching off. So maybe what this Bryce is speaking about is further down the road. Further down the road is certainly not going to be a treifa, but that doesn't answer how soon is it or isn't it a treifa. Continues Gemara, ba'ofa. So we've been speaking about the spinal cord of an animal and how long along the length of the animal is the spinal cord severing going to be a treifa. But now the Gemara wants to know, how do we treat a bird? Ba'ifa, Rav Yana Aimer lamata min hagafayim, until below the wings of the bird, spinal cord that runs along the wings, is that long is going to be a treifa? Rish Lakish says, oil of bein hagafayim, the place that corresponds to the wing, not below the wing, but even the place that corresponds to the wing, it won't be a treifa. There is a very big question in the Rishonim when we speak about the first of why the wings. So the Rishonim explain, because the wings need a lot of energy to be able to fly and flap, and therefore that energy comes from the spinal cord. So as long as we're in the area of the wings, we have to be careful. Says the Gemara, we have to be careful about the spinal cord corresponding to that area. That's one point. But now there's a very big discussion amongst the Rishonim. What does that mean, the area next to the wings? Doesn't mean the area where the wings are attached and come out from the body of the bird? Or does it mean all the way down till the area where we have, till the area below, till the air below the entire wing? It was saying wing, when we say lamatam and kafayim, we say below the wing. What is meant with that? Machlokes Rishonim. Says the Gemara, Amar Ula. So Ula tells us, have a kamim ne kamei the Ben Pazi. I was once standing in front of Ben Pazi, vasalei kamei oifa, and they brought a bird to him, ubadak, and he checked the bird, ad bein kafayim, till the area of the wing, and Shalach, and when he came to that spot, Shalach le debay nasi v'kam v'azol. They sent him a question. The nasi summoned him, and he just left, and he just left and didn't continue examining the bird. And says the Gemara, lo yadana, and I don't know, imishim d'lo yitzarach l'mivda ketfei, what was the reason for his leaving? Was the reason for his leaving because there was no need to check anymore? I'm a shum kvay nasiya, or he wasn't finished examining. He was supposed to examine further down, but the reason he didn't do so is because once he was summoned by the nasi, he immediately went to the nasi to do what he was supposed to do, and that's why he did not have a chance to do any more than just what he did, but not that halachically it's considered as if he finished the examination. The Mishnah taught us, nitla kovid. If the liver was removed from the animal, the bird is missing a liver, and v'loinishtayim menu klum, and there's nothing of the liver left over. The liver is an organ that's usually kept on the right, it's usually on the right side of, mostly on the right side of the animal. It's quite a heavy organ. In fact, that's why it has the name kovid. It stands right next to the stomachs, the keres and the hemsis. It's located between the 5th and the 12th rib of the animal. The liver serves many functions. It helps in the production of the blood, and it also helps in the various in the production and the of the enzymes that digest the food that we eat. And therefore, it's very much connected both to the blood flow of the animal, and it's also connected to the digestive part of the animal. The Sefer Yovin Shmuel from the Reshbatz suggests that when we speak about organs of an animal, after the heart, which clearly is obviously the most important organ in the animal, the second most important organ in the animal is the liver. As we learned in the Mishnah, the animal is only considered a trefa if it's missing the entire liver. But if part of the liver is still there, so then the animal is still considered a kosher animal because the liver has the ability to regenerate itself. Says the Gemara, so from our Mishnah it seems, ha nishtayim ven klum, as long as some of the liver is remained, the loch is ksheir, the animal will be kosher. Afgav to have a kazayas, even though the amount that's left over is not a kazayas, it wouldn't make a difference. But ask the Gemara v'atanan, when the Mishnah on Daf Nun Daled speaks about different situations that the animal will not be a trefa, the Mishnah says nitla a kovid if the animal is missing the liver, v'nishtayim menu kazayas, and you have a kazayas of the liver left over, then it's kshera. So from here we see that you have to have a kazayas. There is a discussion in the Rishonim when we speak about the kazayas that we're learning now has to be left over from the liver. Does it have to be actually from the flesh, from the meat of the liver? Or if the various veins and different parts that lead into the liver, would they be included in that kazayas? But we have a stira. What's the halacha? Even a small amount of liver, or you need a kazayas? Answers the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yosef Lekasha. Ha, Rav Chiya. This represents a machloikus. Ha, Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya holds you need to have a kazayas. Ha, Rav Shimon Rebbe. Rav Shimon Rebbe says you have to have. No, I'm Mishnah holds that even. Do you need a kazayas? The opinion of Chia, and our Mishnah that says even less than a kazayas, any part of the liver left over is satisfactory. Represents Rav Shimon Rebbe. Kiha says the Gemara of Chia Zarukle. There was an animal that did not have a kazayas of the liver left over, and Rav Chia threw it away. Rav Shimon Rebbe, and on the other hand, Rav Shimon Rebbe Matbala would take that meat and dip it into vinegar or to other dips, because he held that this animal, as long as it had some of the liver left over, was perfectly fine. The simonach, and the way to remember who holds what, says a shirim mekamtsim. Rav Shimon Rebbe was very wealthy. And a person who's very wealthy many times has the tendency of being more careful with his money. And here too, he was very careful with his money, that he took this meat. There are some that disagree, and they say just opposite. Rav Shimon Rebbe, because he's wealthy, didn't need to eat this meat, and Rav Chiya needed to eat this meat. What's so special about this meat? Because the Gemara explained in Mefarshim, and Masechta Brachos Daf Mem Dalar Mabei says, Kol Nefesh Meishiv Nefesh, meat that has a lot of blood in it, or comes from a place that blood, and blood we know is critical to the health of a person is what is the best meat to eat. The Gemara just said, Ashir Mekamtsin. I saw a beautiful vart from the Klozer Magarebbe Zatzal. The Klozer Rebbe says that the Pasuk tells us that we were told to bring a machza shekel. Tarek Deshe says, Ze yitnu kol oivar al pkudim machza shekel. And says the Medrash that when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to tell Klai Yisrael to give the machza shekel as kaifa nefesh for kapara, so Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction was, Mi yochel litein kaifa nefesh. Who's the one that really has the ability to give kaifa nefesh? Says the Gemara, says the Medrash, Arameya, Herlai HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe Kamin Matbei Shalish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu a coin made of fire, and Amalai, and he told Moshe Rabbeinu, Kazei Yitu, this is what they should give. There's many questions on this Medrash, as the asked the Klozer Magarebbe. First of all, how is giving money an effect, a kapara? And why the HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to show Moshe Rabbeinu a Matbei Shalish, a coin made out of fire? It's not that hard to identify and see a coin. So he explains what it means here is that we know people have to work very many times to earn a living, to make panasa. And then, which is represented, as the Pasuk says, B'zayis apecha toich lechem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam HaRishon already, we're going to have to work hard to earn money. That's the Matbei Shalish. Matbei Shalish means that to make that coin that we're trying to earn, sometimes we have to be out in the hot sun. We have to work hard, like Eish represents, put in a lot of energy to make a panosa. And what happens then is that a person, after Baruch Hashem, he makes that panosa, he goes and instead of taking that hard-earned money for himself, he gives it to tzedakah, he gives it to Hegdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, when somebody takes that matbeya, that coin, that he only earned, shalesh, with a lot of hard work, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu is that is so important, that is so precious to me, that that's the way Klal Yisrael will achieve a kapara. And that's the kaifa nefesh. And that's why he explains a question that I was always wondering about. We know that when we speak about all mitzvahs, people, boys, become obligated to do a mitzvah when they're 13, when they're bar mitzvah. Yet when we speak about the mitzvah of matzah shekel, the mitzvah of matzah shekel only begins when one is 20. Why is this mitzvah different than all other mitzvahs? The answer is very simple. Because this mitzvah, as we're explaining now, is very much connected to a person working. Just because somebody's bar mitzvah when they're 13 years old, it doesn't mean that that's the age when they begin working. And therefore, the halacha is that mitzvah matzah shekel only begins when one is 20 years old. And that's what he says is pshat, what Agamar says, Ashir Mekamtsim. You have a wealthy person who worked hard to earn his money. And instead of taking that hard-earned money and using it for himself, Mekamtsim, he holds it back to give for tzedakah. That is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu very much appreciates. Says the Marahu Pumasa Dasla Pumbadisa, there was an invading army that came to Pumbadisa. Orku Rabbi Rav Yosef, and Rabbi Rav Yosef ran away. Pogba Rav Zera, and Rav Zera meets them. And Amalahu, and he asked them, and he says to them, Arikoi, you people who just ran away, Kazai Sha'amru, when we speak that the liver has to have a kazayas left over, that it shouldn't be a trefa, but makamara, where does it have to be? At the spat of the liver. So the Chasam Sofer, in discussing this Gemara, says, obviously the question is, what is the connection with Arukoi, that these people ran away to the halacha that we're learning today in our shir about liver having left over and how much, and now that he added it has to be next to the mara, next to the gallbladder. He says that he explained, so the Chasam Sofer explains that there was a fundamental question. What is the right thing to do when something, when people are suffering and there's an attack in the city? Should they leave? Should the people run away? Or should the people, or should the Talmid Chachamim remain in town? And the difference here was, that's what the Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef felt that the right thing to do is run away. And there are many explanations why it's the right thing to run away. First of all, typically, they're the people that the enemy are going to be looking for. And another reason is because they will rebuild after whatever happened during that time. Others say, if there's ever a time when the city needs people to remain there, it's when the leadership needs to remain there, it's when they're suffering. In fact, I saw there was a big debate already. This is not a new question. The Chasam Sofer already discusses that in the city of Prague and Czechoslovakia, he says it was 60 years before his time, there was an attack. And the Noida Behuda, who was the Rav of Prague, wanted to leave the city. And the people of the city, the leadership of the city, felt that it's not the right time to run away. But there were those, as we just mentioned, that that's actually the right thing to do, to run away. And that's pshat, says the Chasam Sofer, between in our Gemara. Rabbi and Rav Yosef felt that it's appropriate for tzaddikim to run away under these circumstances. Rav Zeira disagreed. And because Rav Zeira disagreed, he called them arukoi. He called them people who ran away, at a time when they were so needed, in the city. Says the Gemara. Rav Adabar Hava Amar, B'makom Shichaya, that the place where you have to have liver, the kazayis, is in a place from where it exists. As long as it's next to the kidneys, where the place that they're supposed to be, that's where the kazayis has to be. Amar Papa. So therefore summarizes the Gemara Hilchach. Binon, kazayis from Makamara. Because we have the question that the halacha is that you have to have a kazayis left over. But now we have a question, where is that space? Is it b'makom shulchaya or b'makom mara? The halacha requires b'inon kazayis b'makom mara. We should have a kazayis at the place of the liver, and also b'inon kazayis b'makom shulchaya, we have to have a kazayis in the place where it gets its sustenance. As we said, that some say it's where it's connected to the kidneys, some rishonim say it's a place where it's connected to the diaphragm. The Prima Gadim says that what's going to be the halacha, a very interesting question that he discussed, where you have two animals. Each animal has a kazayis left over, but one animal's kazayis that's left over is by the gallbladder, and one is makom shichaya, whatever we just said. So we look at these two animals. One of them is, so we don't know what the halacha is supposed to be. But according to the way we're learning now, one of them is kosher, and one of them is not kosher. And now, discusses the Prima Gadim, let's say these two animals get mixed up with many other animals. So now the question is, when we look at these two animals that got mixed up with many other animals, do we say that we have to have shishim versus two animals? Because we have two animals that are not kosher, that got mixed up with kosher animals. And since they got mixed up with kosher animals, we're going to have shishim connected that. Or do we say there's two animals, we're not going to be able to eat either animal because we don't know what the halacha really is. But in reality, only one of these animals is not kosher. We just don't know which one is that animal that's not kosher. And because of that, when we'll have to look at a taruvah shaila, when we're going to have to look at a situation that we have a mixture here, we're only going to have shishim keneged. The halacha will only require, you'll only shishim against one animal, because one animal is certainly kosher. The Masham explains the Gemara that these people, Rabbi and Rav Yosef, as we're discussing, ran away. And obviously, when they ran away, they were disappointed. They were depressed that this is the situation that they find themselves in. What we were told was that the life of an animal depends on makam ara. If the liver is still connected in where to the gallbladder, which is where the bile is, which is the place that is not so tasty, not so good, that's how the animal will survive. And the message that Rebbe Zeru was giving them is, don't worry about the fact that you're suffering, because the suffering will ultimately lead to better days. By Rebbe Yirmiyah. So now Rebbe Yirmiyah says, as we're learning now, we have to have a kezias of the liver left over. The question that he discusses, if you don't have the kezias all in one spot, but it's mislaket, it combined from different places. We have a chatzik kezias and a chatzik kezias mahu. What will be the halacha? Is that considered you have a kezias? Bekertzua, what's going to halacha if you don't have kezias in the width, but you have a long strip of liver, and that long strip of liver equals to kezias? What's the halacha? By Rav Ashi says, kezias merudet, if you have a kezias, but it's very thin piece of meat, mahu. And the Gemara says, taiku, these are all questions. Tosfos also points out that if you have a situation where they have the saponius, the various tubes and arteries, will they be mitzdarf to kezias? If the liver got detached in miara from got detached from the animal, however, it's mu'ura b'tarpishay. It's still somewhat attached. Wahu, well, we do halacha. Do we say that we have the liver, it's good enough? Or it's, that since it's mainly detached, it's not good enough? Amalei, so Rav said to Rav Zreika, dildozu, when you speak about the dildozu, any day of mahu, I'm not exactly sure how to understand it. According to the previous piece of Gemara, when we speak about the that the covered, as long as it's connected to the gallbladder, so he says ha'ika. So we have it attached to the gallbladder, and that ought to be satisfactory. Ilaman dama makam shichaya. If according to the other opinion that says we have to have makam shichaya, the different pshatim that we gave in makam shichaya, so again, ha'ika, we have that situation. So I'm not exactly sure what is the point of your question. We learned further in the Mishnah. The Mishnah, as we discussed when we learned the Mishnah, spoke about the reya, the lung. And as we've mentioned in previous shurim, the lung is, when we speak about Hilchos Treifos, is probably the most important organ of the animal that we will be speaking about. Because unlike the other organs in the animal, the lung is the organ that we always check. We don't look for the other treifos. We don't need to there's no reason to assume that the animal has any of the other defects. But a treifa is a defect that we do have to be concerned about. And because the treifa is a defect that we need to be concerned about, the Gemara's question is most understandable. The Gemara's question is, if we have a treifa, if we have an animal that's a treifa, we want to know what's the halacha of a treya. And the Gemara begins by discussing the reya shenikfa. We have a reya that has a hole. Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel of Rav Asi the Amri, that the Mishnah speaks about the lung having a hole is karma law. We're speaking about the upper membrane covering the lung. V'amri law, And others say we're speaking about karma tatar, we're speaking about the lower membrane of the animal. Amar of Yosef, so Rav Yosef says, Amar of Yosef ben Yumi, Amar of Nachman, the Simonach, to understand what is the halacha, kituna devada de melcha bereya, a red garment that's put into the reya. That is the way to identify the lower krum. Says the Gemara, pshita, einka v'lo v'ilinka v'tatar. We have a situation where the upper krum has a hole, and not the lower krum, not the lower membrane. That is not a question, says the Gemara. And the reason it's not a question is because the tatar meigen, the lower membrane, which is attached to the lung, will under those circumstances protect the lung. Okay, the Rava. This is something that Rabbi taught us. Dom Rabba. Rabbi taught us high reya the iglid. If a reya is missing the upper membrane, kahina sumka, and now because it's missing that membrane, it has a very red look, just like a red date, kshera. However, ink of tatovla, ink of law, if the bottom membrane has a hole and not the upper membrane, megan, that too protects the lung. Aloy megan, the question is, will that be adequate to protect the lung or will not be adequate? So it's very interesting. Our Gemara, as we're seeing now, has a serious discussion about membranes around the lung. The Tosfos asks, why are we only focused with this question when we speak about the lung? Why don't we, when we spoke about the brain having membranes on the Memvav, why don't we have this discussion? So Tosfos says that there's no question by a brain that even if the bottom membrane has a hole, the upper membrane is much thicker and sturdier. And therefore, if the upper membrane is intact, there is no question that it would not be a trefa by a animal. But it is a fair question by the brain. But it is a fair question by the reya. So says the Gemara, Pligibar Rav Acha Ravina. Says the Gemara, this is actually Machlokes Rav Acha Ravina. Charam aloy megan. One opinion says that it's not going to be good. Charam and megan. Vilchasa. And says the Gemara, the halacha is Rav Yosef, as Rav Yosef taught us, as we're about to learn. Dom Rav Yosef, Hai Reya Da Afsha. If we have a lung that we hear a hissing sound come out from this lung, Iyadina Hechev Afsha. If we know exactly from where that sound is coming, Mesinavala, what we should do is to put on top of it Gatfa, a feather, a Reika, or some saliva, a Gila, some straw. If any of these objects that we put on top of that area starts to move, that's a proof that there's a hole going all the way through. And if there's a hole going all the way through, the animal's a trefa. E loy, but if there's no movement, kshera, then that's a proof that it's no hole and it's kosher. E loy den hech afsha. But if we can't identify from where the sound is coming, says the Gemara, Meschinen Meschilta Demai Pshuri, we should bring a bowl of lukewarm water, Umasvina Labagaba, and put the lung into it. And like this, we'll check. And now the Gemara, and see if when we put it in, is there any bubbling? If there's any bubbling, that's a proof that there's a hole. But now the Gemara continues to teach us. Bechamimi loy. Don't put it into hot water, the kaftzi, where that causes the lung to shrivel up, and therefore, even though there truly is a hole, we won't be able to notice it. But kariri light, we should also not put it into very cold water, the matrashi. It causes the meat to become very stiff. And once the lung becomes stiff, it will not be able to be properly checked. The pashup shot that I saw many Rishonim suggest is that since it becomes stiff, that too will cause the hole to close up. And if it'll cause the hole to close up, we won't be able to tell if it does or doesn't have a hole. And therefore, what we do is, masfina b'pshuri, we put the lung into lukewarm water, for nafchinala, and then we blow it up, if we see that it's bubbling, the lung as it's put into lukewarm water bubbles, that's a proof that there's a trefa. If you lie, then it's kshera. Tatoi inkov, iloila inkov, the halacha is that even the bottom and the hissing sound represents that the bottom krum, the bottom membrane has a hole, iloila inkov, but the upper membrane does not have a hole. For high the afsha, and this hissing sound that we're hearing is zika de beni beni. It's the air that's trapped. It's the air that's trapped between the two membranes. The mefarshim talk about what is considered the level of paishrim. Most mefarshim explain that paishrim is the temperature of saliva. Moreover, the Paiskim say that we have to be very careful about using this method of checking a lung. What we do is we check that animal. There are two things that are done. There's Bedikas Pnim and Bedikas Chutz. Bedikas Pnim is that the Baidik, the person who's checking the animal, places his hands inside the animal after it's slaughtered, and feels the animal, if there are any, feels the lung, if there are any thing on it. Then the lung is removed from the animal. This is before the lung was removed from the animal. All the spots that the Baidik Pnim identified are looked at by the Baidik Chutz. And besides that, what the Baidik Chutz does is he blows up the lung. And if you blow up the lung, if there are any holes, so the air will escape, and that will be a proof that this lung is not a kosher lung. Says the Gemara, "Ahuni simka the yavish gilde simen." So the Rishonim discuss. We're speaking here about a lung that has a hole in it. So the Rashba says, "What we're talking about halacha." That has a lung, both membranes have a hole. What will be if they have a hole, but the two holes are not aligned with each other? Will the animal be a trefa? So the Rashi's opinion is that it's not considered a trefa. Since we have these two layers of membranes, and these two layers are not one on top of each other, and the holes are not aligned, they're not a trefa. The Ramah disagrees. And the Ramah says that even if the holes are in different places, the animal will still be considered a trefa. The reason it can be considered a trefa is because those holes can easily expand. There's a reisa that these holes can expand to be right on top of each other. And therefore, the halacha is that the animal is considered a trefa. We discussed earlier in our Masechta what happens if you shechted an animal and now you don't have the knife with which it was slaughtered to see if the knife was good. But now there's a and we learned that under most circumstances there's room for leniency. He says that what about lungs? What would be the halacha of lungs that weren't examined and now they're no longer here? There's machloikas hapoiskim. Can we rely on roi behemus ksheris? And the fact that we didn't actually examine the lung will not make it non-kosher. Or do we say the fact that the lung, we always have to be concerned about the lung, and if the lung is missing, we have to be concerned that it wasn't a kosher lung? And since we must be concerned that it wasn't a kosher lung, without knowing for sure that it was kosher, we cannot eat that from that animal. Says the Markufa Amarava, Hai Reya the Iglet. The Reya that was peeled, the upper membrane was peeled, and now, as we said before, it looks like a Hina Sumuka, it looks like a red date, Kshera. Because the halacha is, as we just discussed, it only is a problem if both membranes have a hole. Vama Rava, Reish Adima. If you have a lung that got red because it suffered a blow to it, and when it suffers a blow to it, the blood inside, that's how we get a black and blue mark, because the blood vessels break. If it happened in Mektsasa, if only part of it got wounded, it's kosher. However, Bekula, if all of it got wounded, it's treif. Amalei Ravina LaRava. Mektsasa, when said if it only happened partially, you're saying it's kosher. So he asked my Tama, what's the reason? Because Hadra Bari, it's going to get better. So I asked the Gemara, so Kula Nami, if it was entirely wounded, the halacha also should be that it's kosher, because Hadra Bari, because says the Gemara, Milay Tanya. We speak about, the Torah often speaks about the Shemayna Shrotzim, that we're not allowed to eat. And the Torah speaks about, and that they give off Tumah. And the Torah speaks about that one of the Malachas on Shabbos that we're not allowed to do is chavola, causing a wound. Does machloikus rishonim? What's the basis for that iser? The Rambam's opinion is because it's mepharik, which is dosh. You're causing the blood to go out from where it was, which is the same as we're causing the kernels to go out from when they were. Others explain that this is it's considered like shoychet. Causing this wound is causing this black and blue mark is like shaychet. And others say it's the melacha of tzaveya. Others suggest that it's the melacha of netilas neshama. And the Braisa teaches us that there's a difference between different types of creatures. The difference is, does it have a skin that the chavala will create a black and blue mark or not? So it says like this, when we have a sheretz that has thick skin, so anything that has thick skin, then the halacha is that anything under it will form a black and blue mark, which we just explained why it's asur on Shabbos. By other shkatzer and mashim that don't have this thick skin, just by causing a wound, it won't be considered chil Shabbos, ad sheyetzeh min adam, until the blood comes out. So the Gemara's question is, since when we speak about the lung, it has a thick skin, so just because it got red doesn't mean that it should be treif. V'chitema, says the Gemara, if you'll want to say, that we treat the reya, we treat the lung, the Shemayna Shrotzim didn't mean alay. We treat it like the Shemayna Shrotzim that have a thick skin, the Tanya, as the Bryce has said, and we just refer to this, that atzar ech mishmane shirotzim amurim b'toyra, this is a mishnah m'sakta shabbos, af kuf zayin ha beis, ha-choyva ben chayiv, b'shirotzim sheish loim aris, nitzra adam, when the blood congealed, or came together with a black and blue mark, apish liyotza, that will say that the lung is treated like the shmane shirotzim, so ask the Gemara ha-choyva filo, then that halacha ought to apply, even if it got partially red, that it's considered a problem. Why should it make a difference if it happened partially or fully? It doesn't make a difference, and the blood, the lung is considered like a sheretz with a thick skin, and therefore it's not treif, even if it got a wound. A part of the reya dried up, treifa. For kama, what does that mean? Amar Papa Mishmei de Rava, Kadesh Tifrach B'tzipayrin. It has to be the amount that it became dry, like a nail. That means the way the Darki Moshe explains is that if you'll put your fingernail along this lung, it will leave a mark. Others say that it means that it's so dry, it's like a fingernail. That just like a fingernail is brittle and will crumble, so too if your raya is so dry that it's brittle and will, it's so brittle that it will crack, that's when it's considered a problem. Says the Gemara, this halacha that we just learned, command, whose opinion does this follow? Says the Mark Rabbi Yossi Ben Meshulam. It follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Ben Meshulam. The Tanya, Ezi Yevesha. What is the definition of Devesha? Again, a halacha that we've spoken about many times, that a Bechor is given to the Kohen. And if the Bechor is a healthy animal, it's brought like a common shlomen. But if the Bechor is a Bamum, or Bezman Azer, where we can't bring the Bechor as a carbon, it becomes a Bamum. Then it doesn't have these, then it's not brought as a carbon. And so the Gemara often, particularly obviously in Masechta Bechoros, discusses what are considered a mum for Bechor. And one of the things that's mentioned is a dry ear. And the Mishnah there asks, Ezi Yevesha, what does it mean when it's dry? Shem Tanakav Enimotzi Tipestam. That if it'll make a hole in it and no blood comes out. Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulama, Yevesha, Meisha means Kadesh Nefreches Tzipirin, and that's where we have that shear. Says the Gemara. So the Gemara is assuming that this shear that we're learning here is connected to Rabbi Yossi Meshulam's opinion that we learned there. Says the Gemara, Afil Tem Rabbonin, Gaba Oizim Bechor, the Koshal Bezika, when we speak about the ear of Bechor that's exposed, Lahadri Bari, it doesn't get healthy once it's this dry. Avareya, when we speak about the lung, which is inside the body, the like kashal be'avira, hadribara, and therefore everybody will agree that it's only a trefa if it's so dry that it's like a nail. And just because it's dry, that it doesn't give off blood, it's not dry enough. Furthermore, says the Gemara, v'amarava hai reya, the kaima gildi gildi, a reya that has many layers, look, taken off, uchmi, uchmi, and it has black spots, chazusa, chazusa, or has different shades, sheretz kosher. Amar meir, the Rava, Amar meir mishmei, the Rava, not halacha, eim akifim bebui, that if we have different splinters or things that happen to the animal, and we don't know if this happened before the animal was slaughtered, or it happened after the animal was slaughtered. So what one would suggest we should do is take another animal and make a puncture in it. And we'll see how does that puncture appear on the animal. If the animal that we have now a question about, the look is the same, it's a proof that it happened afterwards. If the look is not the same, it's a proof that it was there before. Says the Gemara, that is not a legitimate way. Says the Gemara, that is not a legitimate way of checking an animal. Vamarava, hani terti une, the sarich al adodi. If we have the two lobes, as we discussed when we started the shurim, the animal, when we started the perek, the lung has five lobes, unos, two on the left side and three on the right side. And the Gemara teaches us, if these lobes, sarich al adodi, that they have a sircha, they have a lesion, less lubadika, if we can't check what's doing under the lesion, and therefore we have to say that the animal, we have to consider the animal treif. And the machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos, why? Rashi's opinion is the sircha is an indication that there was a hole under here, and that sircha and that hole under it now just got covered with the sircha. But since it had a hole, it's treif. Tosfos' opinion is that doesn't necessarily mean that it had a hole. But the fact that it has the sircha represents a illness, a disease of the reya that we can't eat. V'layam maran, el shalek sidrin, when they're not next to each other, when the sircha was not formed by one lobe on top of the other. Av kasidron, if we have them one on top of each other, Heiner Visayu, that's normal that the circus should be that those type of sirchas should form in a lung. And since it's normal that such sirchas should form in a lung, that's why the animal will not be considered treif.